Hello, and welcome to this video series about using Internet Information Services version 7, also called IIS 7. The techniques will be shown on Windows Vista, and you can do the same things that you see here on the version of IIS 7 that's found in Windows Server 2008. Forms authentication was introduced with the first version of ASP.NET, released back in 2001. Back then it started as a role-based mechanism to track which requests were coming in from users who had already logged on, and then easily redirect those who hadn't yet logged on to an appropriate login page. Configuration was established in the web.config file for an ASP.NET application. In ASP.NET version 2.0, the feature set was expanded to provide nice login controls and a membership data solution that works very nicely along with forms authentication. Since IIS 7 now uses web.config to store site-based configuration data, and also has the facility to work with managed modules, it was very straightforward to incorporate the features of forms authentication into the web server itself. This allows not only ASP.NET pages to be protected with forms authentication, but also other kinds of content, such as images or videos, and even pages that are served out from other languages, such as PHP. This video will showcase how to configure forms authentication using the Visual Studio environment that we see here, as well as the Internet Information Services Manager tool. This version of Visual Studio is freely downloadable. It's the Visual Web Developer 2005 Express Edition. Also installed on this system is the SQL 2005 Express Edition, which is a database engine that will store credentials to be used with forms authentication. There's nothing yet configured in the database or here in the website that would provide any support for forms authentication. Right now, we just have anonymous authentication turned on. It's important to note that in the web.config, the section system.webserver is specific to IIS 7. And system.web is specific to ASP.NET. At this point, there's nothing else found in the file. And as part of the website, there's a folder called app data, which is currently empty. This folder is designed to hold databases for ASP.NET applications. Let's now configure a membership database underneath that folder by using this ASP.NET configuration option. It starts up a small test web server that runs in the security context of my user account. This website will actually configure a database for us. After selecting the security option, it takes a few moments because in the background, it's actually setting up a whole new database for us. And if we go back and refresh the app data folder, we see that here's the files. This will store our membership information for forms authentication. Back in the website administration tool, we could do such things as create users. There are password complexity requirements to deal with here. By default, it's 7 characters minimum, with one of them being a non-alphanumeric. Another important thing that this tool does is modify the web.config file. By selecting the authentication type, there are two main choices, from the internet or from a local network. This basically means forms authentication. And this local network option means Windows authentication. We'll choose from the internet, which will enable forms authentication. Currently on our site, even with this authentication enabled, anybody can reference the pages. So we can restrict who can access what with these access rules. From this tool, you can manage these permissions at a folder level. But by modifying the web.config file directly, you can manage even down to the file level. Let's specify that anonymous users are denied on our site. And now referencing the changes to the web.config file, we see this new entry in the ASP.NET configuration. Let's run our site now and see what we end up with. This is asking if we want to modify the web.config so that we can debug during testing. Even though we had originally requested the Team Burton webpage, it's redirected us over to this login page. There's a return URL parameter that specifies that will take us back over to the right page. Also interesting is that the background image that would normally be a part of this page is missing. That images folder does not yet have a web.config file inside. Let's go back to the website administration tool and create an access rule that allows access to the images folder. On images, we'll choose to allow anonymous users. This has created a web.config file, and we'll see it by refreshing the images folder. In any other folder that we place a copy of this web.config file, we'll have the same sort of impact, and we need that same sort of impact here in the styles folder. Now going back and refreshing our page, both the style and the images come up properly. If users didn't yet have an account, clicking this link in theory should take us over to that new user page. But because new user is even protected by this kind of forms authentication and is currently off limits, the link simply redirects us back over to this login page. So we'd like that specific new user page not to be protected by forms authentication. We'll close this web.config file that's specific to the images folder and get back to the web.config file that configures the whole site. To add an exception for a specific file, we can place configurations such as this, in a location element found down here, specifying a path of newuser.aspx. Anything that we place inside of here will be specific to that part of the site. In this case, we'd like to allow all users. Saving this file, and then trying the link again, now we can get to that new user page. Let's go ahead and create a new user. Logging on with that user, we're now able to gain access to the protected part of the site. So far on our analysis of forms authentication, we haven't even touched the IIS web server. This has been running out of the test server that's a part of Visual Studio. When it comes time to deploy this website out to a production environment, there are several things to be aware of. One of which is how membership data will be established. So far this has been using what's known as user instance mode, in which a new lightweight instance of SQL Server is started just to provide access to these database files. This mode is only available with SQL Server Express. So when you're configuring the production environment, you should be aware of a tool that exists in the Windows, Microsoft.NET, Framework, version 2.0 folder, the ASP.NET RegSQL utility. When you run it, it establishes the same sort of membership database that was done automatically over here, but places it in a SQL instance of your choosing. It can reference a remote server, but in this case I'll just use my existing SQL Express instance. You can add membership information to an existing database if you'd like, or by choosing default it'll create a new database called ASP.NET DB. Up to this point, the system has known where to look for membership data based on an entry in the machine.config file. Let's take a look at that entry and then see how we can modify our web.config file to make use of the new database that we just created. Machine.config is located in the Windows, Microsoft.NET, Framework, version 2.0, config folder. And there's a connection string called local SQL server that points to the default location. Here's the setting that establishes user instance mode, that special mode that only works with the Express version of SQL Server. We won't change what's here in machine.config, but let's copy this connection string section and put it on our own web.config. Right underneath the root element. When the system parses the configuration files, it would find the existing entry for local SQL Server, so we'll need to remove that here. Before we establish a new one called local SQL Server. We're still working with a SQL Express instance, and with Windows authentication. But instead of attaching a database file or using a user instance, we'll just refer directly to a database. In this case, the ASP.NET RegSQL tool that we just ran created one called ASP.NET DB. And even though local SQL Server is not mentioned anywhere else in the file, by default, Forms Authentication knows to look for a connection string entry with that name. We can now remove the SQL Express database that we were just testing with. And when we run the site, now everything is transitioned to use that new membership database. Okay, now let's see how IIS 7 extends what ASP.NET 2.0 does with Forms Authentication. From the Internet Information Services Manager tool, we can drill down into the Team Burton website that we were working with. ASP.NET had defaulted to using Forms Authentication. But when this tool read the web.config for the Team Burton website, it found no mention of Forms Authentication, so it shows up as disabled here. If we enable it, it simply makes an update to the web.config file. Here's what was added. It knows to redirect us to a page called login.aspx, simply because that's the default. When we go back and attempt to edit the configuration, we see that that URL and other settings are all defaults. A moment ago, we had created a new user, and that user will show up here under .NET users. The management tool knows how to call out to any membership provider to find this information. And it also has the potential to add users through that membership provider. As well, role management can be performed. This has the ability to set authorization for a whole group of users. All these features have been very useful to ASP.NET 2.0 developers. And with IIS 7, there's a new type of pipeline architecture that makes this available to other technologies as well. Any application that runs in an application pool that's been set to use the integrated pipeline mode can also make use of Forms Authentication. Over here, for instance, is a site that we've configured that has a video file and the exact same web.config and login pages as were used over in the Burton Team site. So you would expect that all the content is currently being protected with Forms Authentication. If we browse to this video file, though, we find that it plays without having to log on first. By default on IIS 7, Forms Authentication only protects ASP.NET pages. And to override this behavior, so that you can protect other types of content, such as that video file, you need to make a couple changes to the modules that are used for authentication. This setting restricts the action of this authentication module just to ASP.NET pages. So to work with other kinds of content, it must be deselected, both here on the default authentication, and also we'll find that under Forms Authentication, we have the same setting that we need to change.